Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been thinking together from a very important epistle in the New Testament known as the Epistle to the Galatians. Now, I want to emphasize again and again, every part of the Bible is God's Word. You dare not disregard any part of the Bible. Some things in God's Word have fulfilled their purpose. The law of Moses, for instance, has fulfilled its purpose. It no longer is true in our lives that we're to follow these hundreds of regulations in the law of Moses. This is taught in the book of Galatians, chapters 1 to 4. And so, it's fulfilled its purpose. But nevertheless, every part of the Bible is important to us. We can learn from every part of the Bible. It's God's Word written through men, of course, but it is still the Word of God. They were simply speaking what God told them to speak. Now, the book of Galatians is a book that deals with a very important error, which is true in our day as it was in that day. The error of those who believe that following good works is important in the Christian life, even as a part of your salvation itself, as part of our salvation itself. Good works are very important in the life. First of all, good works can help to save us. They can help to keep our salvation, or they are the means by which we live the Christian life. Now, I want to make this very clear. We are saved unto good works, so don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But it's not by following the hundreds of regulations in the law of Moses. That's a teaching of the book of Galatians. We still are to live righteous lives before God and before others. But we're not depending upon the law of Moses to help us live those lives. So the first four chapters are dealing with this important question. Are we still under the law of Moses? Where the Apostle Paul gives his own testimony as he had given it in other places, for instance, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, and then 7 to 10, where the Apostle Paul shows that there had been a time in his life when he had tried to go to heaven, have a right relationship with God by following the hundreds of regulations of the law of Moses. And so he points out that he had to leave all of that. He had to put aside the law of Moses in favor of finding righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this teaching is dealt with very strongly in the first four chapters. This teaching, are we still under the law of Moses? And then in chapter 5, the question is being asked, if we're not under the law of Moses, how then can we live the Christian lives? What direction will we have? What teaching will guide us in living the Christian lives? So the answer in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians is the teaching that we walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit, and by the Spirit we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And then, of course, at the end of chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit, how the Spirit works to bring forth true spiritual fruit. Now, in chapter 6, and this is the one we've been dealing with in the last three lessons, in chapter 6 of the book of Galatians, we're dealing with the practical side. How does the Spirit lead us in dealing, first of all, in our relationships with other people, verses 1 to 10 of chapter 6? How does the Spirit lead us and give us victory and help us in living with others in the body of believers and with the unsaved people as well? And I want to talk about this now with you in this lesson. In the last two lessons, we've been taking verse 1. Usually I would not spend so long on any one verse, but there's a very major question that comes about restoration of an erring brother. And that's what's dealt with in verse 1, how to restore someone who has fallen into sin, and apparently serious sins sometimes. And so how do we restore such a one to good fellowship with God and with others in the body of believers? So we've spent a considerable period of time, in two lessons, in fact, discussing that question. Now I want to go today to verses 2 to 5 in chapter 6, and I want to read that with you first of all, and then I want to discuss it a little bit with you. Verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." I want to think about this with you now. This is the idea of carrying the burdens of other Christians, carrying the burdens of other Christians. And this is a very important truth we need to understand. Many times in our lives, and unfortunately this can be true, this can even happen in the Christian life, we tend to be self-centered. In other words, this is my life, these are my problems, these are my main concern, I have concern for nothing else except how to solve my problems. This is called self-centeredness, or in another way of saying it, selfishness. Sometimes Christians are tempted to live like this. Don't bother me with your problems. How can I help somebody else when I have so many problems of my own? And so we tend to be self-centered. We tend to have this selfish attitude. And God, of course, wants us to deal with our problems. He doesn't want to let our problems go undealt with. But at the same time, he's pointing out that in the body of believers, we're responsible one for the other. We're to reach out one for the other. This is taught in so many passages in the Scriptures, this idea of reaching out to other believers. We are going to see it in the book of Romans. We're going to see it in the book of Ephesians, Colossians. We're going to see it in the book of Philippians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You can go through many of the books of the New Testament, and this idea of reaching out to the needs of others is going to be very strongly taught. So, as we think of the body of believers, now we're, of course, one in fellowship with the Lord, and in the body of believers, we're sharing together in the joys of the Christian life and the joys of fellowship, the joys of growing together in the Lord. But in the body of believers, there are always going to be some who are burdened with circumstances or problems in their lives that are so great they feel they cannot bear these burdens alone. Now, these can be of various kinds. And I want to talk a little bit about this. But those with a true caring spirit for such people are going to reach out to such people with help. If you truly have a caring spirit, a loving spirit, you're going to reach out to such people. Now, this caring spirit, and some misunderstand this, this is not a gift from God. In other words, there are certain gifts which some people might have, which other people do not have. This is made very clear in such passages as 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. There are some gifts which one might have which another do not have. So by the exercise of our various gifts, differing one from the other, we're going to meet the needs of the body of believers and of the church itself. However, this caring spirit is not just a gift which some might have and others not have. Rather, all Christians are to have such a caring spirit. All Christians are responsible for reaching out and helping some others in various ways. Now, I realize some might be more gifted in counseling than others, and so some would do this through counsel, but all of us in some way can reach out to others. Now, what are some of the needs of people? Some might simply need encouragement to go through difficult times. I know right at the present time, even as I'm teaching you today, Guam and the United States are going through financial difficulties. In other words, many people are without jobs. They have no means of livelihood, and they're suffering from loss of homes, no ability to pay for the mortgages on their homes, and so forth. We need to care about such people going through difficulties. Other people may have family difficulties that are causing them to be discouraged and defeated. They don't know how to solve their family difficulties. So they need fellow Christians to come alongside them over a long period of time. These need to be people who truly care and are doing this from the heart rather than just a necessary responsibility. It's not a matter of saying, okay, I will, but it's a matter of saying, no, as the Lord Jesus lives in my heart, I care for these people. And as God helps me, I want to reach out to them. And of course, others may be poor and in great need for their daily livelihood. I mentioned this. Financial difficulties are going through. But besides this, you know, there could be problems of sorrow in the family and sickness in the family and other things are going through. And then, of course, others may desperately need counseling concerning problems, decisions, and situations they might be confronting, especially the decisions of life. They don't know which way to turn. They have no idea what the future of their life is going to be. They know, of course, they can trust God completely with their lives, but they don't know how to solve the problems in their lives. And so they're going through these difficulties, and they need somebody to counsel them. They need to turn to somebody and find help. And that's where we Christians can help one another. We should have a willing and open heart concerning the needs and the problems in the lives of others. Some of us may feel that we ourselves have victory, we ourselves have no major problems, but others do. And this is going to be true in the body of believers. Now, there may be some who even despair of life and want to give up. This can be a very dangerous situation. It can lead even to suicide in the lives of people. And spiritual Christians who are observant and caring can often be used of God to bring them through such situations in order to help them find victory over their despair. Victory through the Word of God, through the help of the indwelling Spirit of God, victory through facing their decisions in the right way, looking at life from a positive rather than negative standpoint and so forth. Now, in a church, and I want to be very kind about this, but some may feel they're in such a superior position in the body of believers that they have no real responsibility to others. In other words, this is not my problem, people will say. Yes, it is our problem. When a brother or sister is suffering, we have a need to help them. Now, when you look at various books, and I don't want to go into this deeply with you, but when you look at 1 John, for instance, chapter 2, or when you look at the book of James, chapter 2, he's dealing with people now that we tend to ignore. And there's people with financial difficulties who simply do not have enough to live on and so forth. And he is saying, if you turn away from such a person, maybe give him a blessing. Well, may you be blessed of God. But we don't give them what we need. We're sinning against God. And there's a failure to reach out to other people is a sin against God. So this teaching is very, very important. Now let me just touch for a moment on verse 5, because this can be misunderstood. First of all, we are to bear the burdens of other people. So we don't want to misunderstand this in reading verse 5. We are to bear the burdens of other people. But I think verse 5 is teaching this. We're not to unnecessarily lay our burdens upon other people when we don't need to. In other words, we're to learn by the help of the Holy Spirit how to live our lives ourselves. Now, let's be fair about this. Verses 2 to 4 are teaching about reaching out to others who cannot carry their burdens, who are overwhelmed, in other words, by the burdens they have. But verse 5 is saying, if you are a spiritual Christian, don't lay your burdens upon other people. Don't force them to help you when you don't really need the help. Some people always want people to come alongside them, and they may not really need it. I hope this is clear, what I'm teaching. So we reach out to other people, carry their burdens. At the same time, we also learn victory in our own lives. That's what he's teaching. Now I want to just begin with verse 6, and then we'll go on from there in the next lesson. But let me begin with verse 6, and let me read verse 6 for you as we move ahead in this passage. And verse 6 has this to say, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teacheth in all good things." Let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth in all good things. Now this is referring to our responsibility towards leadership. In previous lessons, we've talked about the responsibility of leaders towards the flock. And this responsibility is very, very great. There are many, many teachings on this subject, the responsibility of leaders to the flock. You're going to see this in such books as 1 and 2 Timothy. We're going to see it in 1 and 2 Peter. We're going to see it now in this book of Galatians and other books, the responsibility of leaders. And of course, leaders are to share spiritually with their flock. They're to be faithful in the work for God. They're to live pure and holy lives before God and for others. And so the leaders have great responsibility. But we need to understand also the church has a responsibility toward the leaders. And that's what he's talking about in this sixth verse of Galatians. So first of all, we're talking about the love and respect we're to give to pastors and leaders. And this is taught in many, many passages of Scripture. But the leaders deserve our love and respect. Now, don't misunderstand what this is saying. We're not exalting them, in other words. We exalt the Lord Jesus, but we still love and respect them. We respect their leadership. We respect their position in the church. We respect the teachings they give us from the Word of God. These are trained leaders. These are not just novices, in other words, people who are simply untaught in the Word, but these are people who have been taught in the Word, who faithfully study the Word, and now who teach it to us. And sometimes in churches, pastors lack this love and respect. The people simply do not give them what a pastor is expected to have. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, he first teaches that the pastors and teachers are to have a deep respect of those to whom they minister because of their appointment. But he also is teaching the fact that the believers are to respect them. Now, this does not mean that a pastor should minister in pride or be glorified in himself. We're not respecting them in that way. That we're glorifying them and setting them up as though somehow they are something so special that they're like God himself. Rather, he's teaching that a leader must have such respect so that those to whom he ministers will accept the ministry he has among them. When we don't respect somebody, we will not accept their ministry. And this is the problem we have in many, many churches. We need to have this respect in order that the man can carry out his job and know that the people are going to accept him and so forth. And so, in the local church, this is the truth we're having to learn. We're having to learn that this respect is to be there. Now, Paul is an example of one whose ministry among the Corinthians was hindered because the Corinthians did not really hold him high and respect him, and respect his ministry among them. In 1 Corinthians, we know, of course, the Apostle Paul had to speak to them very, very sternly concerning something like 12 or 13 different major problems in their church. Few churches today would have so many problems, but the Corinthians had them. So Paul had to rebuke them and teach them very, very strongly concerning the problems. And he'd had to command them, in fact, to correct these problems, whether it's immorality or disunity or disrespect for the table of the Lord, whatever the problem might have been. Paul had to be stern. And so what happened was this. Most of the believers, as he writes 2 Corinthians, had turned against him. In other words, they resented the teaching he had given them. Rather than accepting the teaching as being from God, the teaching as being important for pleasing God and walking rightly before Him, rather they rejected it. They rejected most of the teaching. And so they were turning against Paul, criticizing him, tearing down his character, and in every way treating him badly, as they had lost all respect for him, and were indulging instead in bitter criticism against him. Now, they had desperately needed the message that he had given them in 1 and 2 Corinthians, but were unable to profit by it because of their sinful spiritual attitude toward him. And I want to emphasize again, this will hinder us today. If we don't respect the ones who give us the teaching, we're going to have the same problem of not following the teaching that they're giving us, being disobedient to God. So it is also true, of course, that the pastor or leader must be worthy of the respect of the body of believers. I'm saying this to pastors now, to myself and to others who may be pastors. We must be worthy of this respect. If we're living lives ourselves which are not right before God and before others, if we're living carelessly in some way, if there are sins in our lives, the people are going to be hindered in respecting us. And so this is very, very important. Now, I want to continue this in the next lesson, but let me just suggest one other thing before I stop this lesson. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, goes ahead to teach also the financial support that the pastor or leader deserves in his faithful and spiritual ministry in the body of believers. Financial support is very important. We have come from the Philippines. We came here to Guam from the Philippines. And in the Philippines, many times, these communities are very poor communities. I say this very respectfully of the Filipinos, but they're very poor communities. And when a pastor goes to a certain town or to a certain part of a town to minister for God, many times the people simply are unable to support him very heavily. In other words, he's going to have to live very, very carefully in order to survive. Sometimes he lives in a very, very simple little thatch-roofed house made out of bamboo and thatch, and he's never going to have any elaborate facilities to live in. He's not going to be paid very much, but nevertheless, he can survive. So there are going to be places where People simply cannot give much support, and I understand this. But nevertheless, the believers are to sacrifice on behalf of their pastor. They're to respect his position, the fact that he's not working at an outside job. Now, Paul, at one point, supported himself when he was in Corinth. He was a tent maker. But later, he gave this up, and he devoted himself entirely to the work of God. And so the churches came to his aid. So, the pastor is not to be greedy in his approach, but he can expect that the people are going to support him. They're going to help him in every way financially. And so this is a lesson for our churches. While a pastor on the one hand is not to be greedy, nevertheless, he's to be adequately supported so that the pastor does not have to have an outside job in order to support himself. Now my time is gone, and I want to stop this particular lesson. But I want to emphasize again and again to you the importance of the practical side of the Christian life. Not only do we live by the Spirit, but the Spirit works out through our lives in ministering to other people and in living our lives before other people as we should. And so this practical side is very, very important, and we're going to be continuing this in the next lesson. May the Lord help you, first of all, to truly know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin. Again, if you're dependent upon anyone else or anything else in your life to help take you to heaven, you're not going to go there. It is Jesus alone who will save you from your sins. And then in the Lord Jesus Christ and in your salvation, by the help of the Holy Spirit, live the Christian life. Live as God wants you to live, holy before Him, and also live to the glory of His name. May the Lord help you, each one.